You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. I'm Rob Artigo, entrepreneur and screenwriter, and happy to be back for another edition of Tough Things First. Hi, Ray.
Hello there, Rob.
Ray, there's a new book out there that explores how Americans have transformed from a willingness to move, to take risks and adapt to change, to kind of this culture out there now that is avoid change. And this writer says, we're moving residences less, we're marrying people more like ourselves, and we're choosing music or our mates based on algorithms that wall us off from anything that might be too new or too different. Is this a dynamic that you see out there in the world these days?
Well, you know, I think he's taken more of a contrarian view, which is fine because, you know, there's always two sides to every coin. And so this author is taking a different view of people's change in their mood and attitude toward change. So I think that's more of a contrarian than maybe what's actually happening.
Mm. And, you know, we do this in our business lives and our everyday lives, right? We look at things and sometimes our interpretation of it is a matter of perspective.
Exactly. You know, it seems like the contrarian view tends to entice a lot of people to listen and join in. So I think it's more of that than more controversial than in true reality, Rob. So I wouldn't take it, at face value. I would look at more as a contrarian view. You know, we do have the millennials who are marrying later. Don't know if they're marrying people of their own, you know, culture, but they are marrying later. They're living at home longer. They're looking for more safety. So maybe they're risk averse. Change is less risk averse, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure. And I've always been, what I found is that as I've gotten older, I've become I've been more risk averse, I should say. Mm-hmm. Only that you have more at stake. And when you're younger, that's when you really should be taking the bigger chances, the bigger leaps that you can, that are easy to recover from if you happen to make a error in judgment or make a decision that kind of doesn't work out your way. But it seems to me that the younger people, and then going to what this writer is saying, and I think alluding to at least exploring the subject is that maybe because they're staying at home longer, because they're making decisions later in life to get married and make other important decisions. And I believe you shouldn't be rash in those things. But at the same time, if they're waiting a long time and then not taking the appropriate amount of time to decide what to do. So, you know what I'm saying? If they're going to get married later in life, but they still only take 3 months to make that decision, they're still making a rash decision. So, but right. maybe there is a risk element there that they should be taking in the big things in life or the decisions they make about where to go for work and study and that kind of thing, and that they're not really taking.
As you pointed out, when we become more dependent on the government, that just makes us, and our parents, as you would not like to look, we'll throw in the parents in there also, because I heard a comment yesterday by someone that said, you know, your kids never move out of the home. In other words, they, even though they may go to a different apartment or maybe move out of the actual structure, home structure itself, they're never really off the parents' payroll. With all the government entitlements now and in the last 9 years have really, established that pattern. of entitlements that the kids are unwilling to take risks because they don't feel they have to. So, you know, if you don't have to take a risk, why? You know, why do it? And so I think we're seeing a little bit of that is why it looks, you know, at least on the surface, it looks like they're avoiding change.
And can we rely on algorithms too much nowadays as well, where we let computers sort of analyze circumstances and recommend changes that perhaps we should, you know, do with the consultation of parents or friends and not necessarily rely simply on algorithm?
It's the algorithm, the parental algorithm, as you would. We're letting our parents tell us what to do, you know, what school to go to, you know, what education to get. And so we've become accustomed to people telling us, you know, what to watch, what to listen to. And so I think that is at the heart of what you're talking about. It is a parental syndrome. In other words, as we grew up as children, we relied on our parents to tell us what to do and when to do it. And it's just happening a lot later in life now. Maybe it happened up until we were 16 or 17, maybe 30 or 40 years ago. But now, they're in their 20s and maybe even their 30s, still, you know, having their parents telling them what to do, what to eat, where to go. And we've just been accustomed to, even the ubiquitous driving. We don't drive the car anymore. You know, we just let the car take us from here to there. So it's going to even foster more of this algorithmic analysis. And, you know, we want everybody else to tell us what to do because it seems safer.
Right. Letting somebody else do the thinking for us. And you're taking the decision making out of it. So it's like you're also relieving yourself of some blame if something goes wrong.
Yeah, you're not accepting responsibility for your actions because you say, well, you know, I was here. Here's what the model here's what the conventional wisdom is, and I'm going to follow that. Therefore, I don't have to take a risk. So that's being risk averse.
And can you spot this in a business sense, say it's somebody who's seeking venture cap or investment or somebody who's seeking advice or mentorship in the business community. Can you see this in a person if they are in the way that they talk or address certain issues that you can tell that they are over-reliant on something outside of themselves for making decisions?
Yeah, I can actually look at the way they dress. I mean, you no longer dress up in a nice suit and tie, they just put on casual clothes. They just, you know, put on, you know, short pants or sneakers and, you know, t-shirt and, you know, they catch the bus or the company drives them to work and you know, provides the babysitting and provides their meals for them. And it just, we're become so used to people taking care of us. And by the way, you know, if you use casual clothes, you don't have the cost of the laundry and the maintenance of that expensive clothing. They're basically wrinkle free. You just, you know, throw them in the wash machine, pull them out, dry them, you know, and then put them on and go to work. I mean, we have become so casual in the way that we live our lives, fast foods and, you know, instant TV dinners, and it dates me right there, but, you know, the frozen dinners,
yeah.
and availability of everything being so easy, you know, right before us that we don't have to work very hard to get to where we need to go.
And let's close with this. You were talking about casual clothing. And I think that's a way that people present themselves in the modern culture is that I wear this clothes, and I'll use Zuckerberg as an example. He's very fond of the hoodie. He wears the hooded sweatshirt, and he dresses very casually around the office. I'm sure there are times when he dresses in a business suit. We just never see it. But that's Zuckerberg, right? He owns Facebook, and he's a billionaire many times over. And some people think, well, I'm going to dress like that because I'm that kind of personality in my business world. But if you're starting out, though, you don't want to give people that impression. And I think of this, I'm fond of baseball analogies and baseball thinking. There's a movie where a new pitcher came from the minor leagues or just joined actually into the professional ranks, and he's got fungus on his shoes. And his catcher said to him, "You have fungus on your shoes." And he was calling him out on it. "You have fungus on your shoes." He says, "You can't have fungus on your shoes in the pros. If you go to the major leagues and you win 20 games, you can do whatever you want with your shoes. But until then, you have to have clean shoes. You have to present yourself properly as a professional baseball player. You can be eccentric once you've succeeded, but you don't want to be eccentric at the start because then people have a problem with you."
Well, but tell that to the current generation, because they certainly, don't care. I mean, it's whatever is easiest, you know. If you wear casual clothes, you don't have to polish your shoes. You don't have to worry about, you know, keeping your face clean and trimmed and hair combed and cut. And, you know, we just become sloppy and everything sloppy in the way we do work, our work hours, this casual way of living is really at the heart of what we're talking about on this podcast.
Well, thank you, Ray. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.